This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
We'd like to welcome into the studio Deborah Levitt. So welcome, Deborah.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello. So can you tell us just what Bridge Road Consultants actually does?
Yes, I work with people as a productivity coach, and I'm focused on helping people to stop stressing and start earning. So really trying to help you to get on top of things that you need to do so that you're able to make progress in your business. And I also work with businesses to help them to do any planning or productivity tasks that they need to.
Right, and you are a project manager, so what sort of projects would you work on?
Well, now I would work on mainly smaller projects with those smaller businesses. Historically, I've worked on mainly IT projects, quite large ones, global implementations, that sort of thing. So this is really about bringing that skill set to the self-employed, sole entrepreneurs and smaller businesses.
Yeah. So what sort of training did you need to have to be a project manager with a company?
I was kind of in a place where people encouraged me, if you'd like. So I started off doing project management and just kind of evolved into it. I think it matched my skill set and my logic, that type of thing. And then eventually, after I'd actually been doing it for a while, I became a Prince II qualified project manager. And that involves, you know, doing some studying and then taking an exam. And that gives you a methodology to use so that you've got something to apply as and when. Though the reality, from what I've seen, is that most companies don't apply it directly. They like the idea that you've got something, but they're not necessarily actually using that methodology.
And is that where they're going wrong then, that they've got it but they're not using it properly?
No, I think that sometimes it's because they're putting, you can put too much process in, but you can also put too little process in. And I think companies find it really difficult to get the right amount of process and control. And also that follow through of whether or not, you know, a lot of people put something in, but they don't then follow through to see that they've actually achieved the benefit or what they need to adjust to make sure they're still going to where they need to go to.
I agree. I think there's a lot of companies out there that overprocess. And I think, as you say, getting the balance right. But how do you get in touch with these companies then, and how do you get them to come to you and see the light?
It's largely at the moment, it's mainly doing networking. It's trying to make people more aware of what it is that I do. What I found initially when I started is that I kind of came out of a corporate environment with the idea that, you know, I'll bring project management to the smaller companies. And what I discovered is that for a lot of, the 5 to 10, those smaller companies, those words scare them. Mm. So they're kind of, oh, I don't need project management. I don't need any of this. And therefore, I had to start changing my terminology. So what I've started to do now is to talk about productivity, is to talk about getting things done, and to talk about what it is that they're going to do, which is either that you're going to actually start earning because you've now delivered what you needed to, or that you're going to start achieving what you need to achieve in your business.
So it's not just for large companies. I should think that small companies would benefit hugely from what you have to offer, because actually when you're solo, if you don't have a process, it's not going to work out, is it?
Exactly, and you can waste a huge amount of time doing the same thing every month, every week, but if you're doing it in a different way or you've got to relearn it, then you're taking up time. And it also makes it difficult for you to grow because, you know, I might know how to do something and it's in my head, but then when I turn around and, you know, for example, say, Mandy, I need you to do this, I might assume that you know how to do it and you're going to do it the way I want to. But the reality is that because I haven't got a process, I haven't got something in place, you're probably going to do it your way, and then I might not be happy. Or I might be going, oh, damn, that was better.
You can see, then that's when the problems arise in the staff room.
No. Yeah, exactly.
So it says here, just moving away from that just briefly, you're Canadian born and bred. Obviously, you've got this lovely accent.
Thank you.
So when did you move over from Canada to the UK, was it?
Yes, 1987.
Wow.
A long time ago.
34 years ago. No, it's not.
It's 20.
10 years ago.
It was just last week.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. And have you enjoyed? Is this your home now, then?
Yes. Yeah, there was a point where I was coming over. I didn't necessarily know what I was you know, how long I was going to be here for, why I was here, that sort of thing. And then as things evolved, it just became apparent that this was my home and that I lived here now. My adult life has been in the UK, so I have more, you know, friends and contacts and things here than I actually do back in Canada.
And a beautiful accent as well.
Thank you.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, really nice. Yeah, really nice. So do you find that things are very different in Canada to how they are here, or were you not there at a time when you could understand these things?
Yeah, I think when I first came over, there were definite differences that I noticed. But now, having been here so long, the norm for me is England. So I recognize what's normal here. There might occasionally be things that I think, oh, that's, you know, that would be different in Canada. But for the most part, I no longer see those. It's more likely that I'd go back to Canada. And I was quite upset. I went back a few years ago and I was I had a cup of tea and I thought, oh, it doesn't taste as good as it does at home. I thought, oh, damn it, I'm English.
Yeah, exactly. So is it things are better there or not so good? Have you picked up any hints to bring over here from Canada?
I think because of when I came over and the age that I was then, there wasn't necessarily any conscious thinking about how things were. You know, I was very much just out of school. I'd done, you know, various jobs and things, but it was, you know, still at that age of, I guess, exploring the world. The one thing at that point that I did really notice was technology. Technology here was initially way behind what it was in Canada and the States. I think they're level now, but at that point it was, you know, they were still using, say, Word typewriters and things, whereas in Canada it had gone much more to Word processors and that.
So why do you feel that businesses are so much under stress at the moment? What sort of stress are businesses which is sort of different from years ago? Is it social media and all that sort of stuff or what?
I think that what's happening a lot, and they're obviously all different stresses, but speaking specifically about people who are starting up their own business and the stresses that they're feeling, I think it's that you come out, in a lot of cases, you come out of a bigger company, you've had all of this support around you, and what you discover is that, you know, you might have been an absolutely brilliant radio presenter, but you now want to go off and do it on your own. And suddenly you've got to set everything up yourself, and you've got to manage all of that, and you've got to do the social media, you've got to do all of these different aspects, and also you're doing it by yourself. So I think that all puts stress onto you, and I think that we, especially women, I'm not sure how much men do this, but women also put these expectations on themselves about how they're going to do it, which again builds up all of our pressure. And being by yourself. So this is one of the nice things about, you know, doing the Ask the Expert with Sam and Rebecca, is that collaboration, is that support, and working with other people to help you sort of through some of the stress points.
So how did you actually get involved with Ask the Expert then?
Well, Sam and I have been working together and doing various things together for a while, and Sam decided that she would start Ask the Expert. She wanted to, you know, establish yourself a bit more visibly in Farnham, and I know she can talk about that later. And then I said, oh, that looks like, you know, a good idea, and was kind of thinking, you know, was there something I could do? And Rebecca was from the other side asking the same thing. So we sat down and talked together and said, okay, if we're going to do this, what does it look like with all three of us? How much are we collaborating? Where are we going to do it? And how do we build it into something that we, you know, hope will go forward and provide benefits all round for people coming to us, co-working as well.
It's a great idea. It's fantastic. I can imagine all these, you know, solo businesses out there don't know where to go, and a little bit, some are quite shy about asking for help. So they can go to this really cool place in Farnham. It's at the
Botanist, yes.
And what time do you do it, and when do you do it?
It's Tuesdays from 10 till 12. On the co-working days, we tend to be there a bit longer, but for the drop-in sessions, it's 10 a.m. till 12. And it really is just drop-in because, as you say, one, it's informal, and a lot of people are quite reluctant. You know, I think all of us are avoiding, we don't like that hard sales pitch. You think, oh, if I pick up the phone and speak to somebody, they're going to be pushing. And so this is meant to be that more gentle. I can come in, I can ask you a question, and I can walk away. And it's, you know, just a chance to establish that relationship as well as get some advice and support.
Now, I notice you call yourself a productivity expert. So what does that actually mean?
It's a very good question. This actually took me a long time to get to. So as I said before, when I started doing this and I was going, okay, I'm a project manager, and people didn't relate to that. And it's only actually very recently that I thought, actually, what I'm doing is I am helping people to be more effective and to be more productive so that they're not dealing with all of the other things surrounding it. So people in general are really good at finding ways to occupy themselves and to, you know, kind of do anything but the thing that you have to do but you don't want to. So we can be very busy being busy. So it's really about saying, okay, well, what do you really need to focus on? And let's make you actually deliver or achieve the things that you need to build your business so you become more productive.
And how often is that taking on new people? Or can you just say to people, if you did this, it would be better? Or do you advise them to take on somebody who's an expert in a field or not?
It really depends on the situation. So especially the company itself. So if somebody's starting up, they may not have the finance to be able to do that. But it is also about then identifying, okay, this is something I don't enjoy doing or I'm not very good at, and therefore in the future I want to actually, you know, pass that on to somebody else. So each individual is different, and I think the way that we all work and the things that we are good at and enjoy are different for everybody. So definitely sometimes I'm saying, okay, you know, if you've got the budget, go ahead, hire somebody, and that's going to make the most sense. Other cases, you've got to do it yourself.
I can see many people benefit from your services. It says here, just going on onto the personal side here, it says you, well, one of the things it says here is that you have arrested people.
I have.
So how did you arrest people?
So when I was in Canada still, I worked as a summer student customs officer. So I worked at a border crossing between Canada and the U.S. So what would happen is people, you know, come across the border, they get stopped and, you know, ask questions, and then some of them get sent to be searched. And I, for some reason, seemed to be the person who would find people with guns. Now, I was terrified of guns and not very good with them.
No.
But for some reason, I seemed to be the person who stumbled across them, where people would go, oh, you're going to find it anyway. And I'm thinking, I would never have spotted that.
Oh.
And so then when you brought them in, then I would arrest them. And I remember one colleague saying to me once, he said, Deborah, you're not supposed to shake more than the guy you're arresting.
Oh.
I was only 18.
Oh, my goodness me. And have you found any of those skills have come in useful for what you're doing now?
I think some of the people observation skills are, because watching people and their reactions when you're asking questions and their body language of, you know, if they're looking away from you and how they're dealing with you, it is actually quite useful.
Okay.
And I probably haven't consciously thought of that, but it would have been part and parcel.
I can see that. I can see that. And you also, you have this dog that you borrow called Woody, which I believe is a lot, he's involved in your marketing.
Yes.
A lot, isn't he?
Well, I use him, you know, I talk about him and use him sometimes in photos and things. So he's just become, I guess, part of my life, and I do take him networking when it works out. So he's kind of a conversation breaker as well, icebreaker, I suppose. So he's lovely.
He's a conversation breaker. He doesn't make conversation.
Does he doesn't. Exactly. He just sticks his nose in and says, oh, hello, you need to pet me.
Yes, I can understand that. So going back to the business and the things you offer people, what does your Bridge Road consultancy offer? Do people come to that after they've been to Ask the Expert or not?
It's up to them. So they don't have to go to Ask the Expert. That is, you know, very much if you want to, if you're just sounding things out. But they can also come to me directly, or sometimes through referrals as well, if somebody else has said, oh, you might actually benefit from speaking to Deborah. A lot of the people I work with initially can be quite overwhelmed and are finding that it's difficult to make any progress. So the first steps for those people are very much about helping them to feel back in control, but from a very pragmatic perspective of, okay, you're overwhelmed because you've got all of this, and let's now narrow it down and let's be realistic about what you can achieve.
And are they only allowed to come to Ask the Expert once, or
they can
come as often as they like, can they?
So obviously we would, you know, I think it's with everything, isn't it? Is if you think somebody is now starting to take advantage, we might try and encourage them to then, you know, progress that relationship further. But if you've got, you know, different questions, or you want to speak to Rebecca about Xero and you want to speak to Sam about HR, you know, there's nothing to stop you from coming multiple times.
And do you have to make an appointment in advance?
No. So you can either just pop in, or you can, if you are limited on time, we do have a couple of different pages where you could book a specific time slot, because we know that it doesn't necessarily work for everybody to just pop in and hope that we're free.
Mm-hmm. What sort of feedback have you had yourself over the years?
Over the years, generally, calm, normally.
That's good.
I say tomato wrong. And, yeah, I think generally it's been about the planning and the organization and the ability to see a direction and to deal with uncertainty you know, is good. And I think also identifying a problem. So for me, knowing that there's a problem and understanding what the problem is, I actually like, because once I know that, I can, you know, work with the team to, or the person, to identify how do we actually resolve it. Whereas if you don't know what the problem is and you're just all over the place, it's really difficult to figure out how to fix it.
And how long would a session normally last?
Initial session I tend to do with people, if we're doing a proper introductory session, is normally about 90 minutes, and that's to get people, you know, thinking about what they've got on their mind, helping them to get it down, and then that helps us to define which way we want to go forward. And I'd also do just a 20-minute introductory chat if you just want to get a feeling for, well, one, whether you like me, whether we would work well together, and two, just to get some tips and things.
So this is in the Bridge Road Consultancy.
That's
business,
right, yeah. Yes.
So do you want to give details out of your contact details and website?
Yes, absolutely. So my website is bridginggaps.uk, no spaces or hyphens or anything exciting. And you can reach me at deborah@bridginggaps.uk, or my phone number is 01344-289985.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us about it. It sounds very interesting.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.